They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today we are continuing our sermon series, What Role Should the Government Play in Natural Disaster Relief? And we have been talking about the reason that God brings judgment. Because one of the things that we have shown from the Bible is that God does judge sin, not only on individuals, but also on nations. And one of the ways that He judges sins is by allowing creation to rise up against a people. And when we see natural disasters, when we see hurricanes, when we see tornadoes, when we see wildfires, when we see floods, when we see drought, it should be a sign to us that we have departed from His precepts. Whenever creation is rising up to cast a people out from the land, or as God says in Leviticus 18 and 20, the land is vomiting forth the inhabitants of the land, and if you commit these same sins, the land will vomit you forth as well. Whenever a land is vomiting forth its inhabitants, it is important, it is pertinent for that people to amend their ways. And we have looked at various reasons that God judges nations. And one of the things that we have seen, some of the things that we have seen, is that God judges individuals and nations to punish sin. Also, when the land is defiled, as in Leviticus 18 and 20, when the land is defiled, that the land actually rises up and vomits forth its inhabitants. We also see that when innocent blood is shed, that the land is polluted with that innocent blood. And there are very few ways of cleansing the land from that innocent blood. First, by the legal prosecution and execution of the perpetrator of the crime, of the murder. And really, if there was no known perpetrator, then the elders had to come before God and make a sacrifice and say, they had to actually go to the place where the innocent blood was shed, and they had to make a sacrifice, and they had to be able to pray, God, our hands have not shed this blood, nor did our eyes see it. We didn't know about it. We didn't know that this was happening. And even those who have never personally been involved in abortion, and by the way, there's a large percentage of the population, even of those listening today, who have been involved in abortion. And what needs to happen is you need to repent of your sins, cry out to God, turn from your wicked ways, and allow God to forgive you of your sins. But even those who haven't been personally involved in abortion, none of us can rightfully say, we have not known about this. We know that abortion is happening in our land. We know, in fact, the abortion mills advertise that they are performing abortions. They advertise where they're located. Anyone that has a cell phone can actually do a Google search and find where they're located. You can make a few phone calls and even find out when they're open. We can't pray this prayer. So the only other way is for God to send forth His judgment upon that land, and that judgment results, as it did in the nation of Israel, resulted in some of them going into captivity. It resulted in some of them dying by the sword, some of them dying by famine. And we also see that God judges individuals and nations so that He might reveal His power and His wrath. And we read about this in Romans chapter 9 also. And And then we also looked about how God brings forth his judgment on individuals and nations to restrain further evil, as more and more of their resources have to go to actually rebuild what was already there. Less and less can be spent, less time, energy, and money can be spent on further wickedness. And today we're going to look at really probably the most important of all, which is that God is calling us to repent of our sins as individuals and as nation, as our nation as well. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So here we see that God's judgment, God's chastening hand on his children whom he loves. And God bringing this not only to individuals, you actually see many examples of this happening to individuals, but you also see examples of this happening nationally as well in the Old Testament. And so as God loves people, he loves his children, he loves his children individually, and he loved the nation of Israel. He loved them enough to bring forth his chastening upon them. Even so, he can do the same today. He can have an individual that he loves, that he chastens, to correct them, to teach them how they should actually work and obey him and keep his commandments. And yet a nation is the same way. God can love a nation and want to bring that nation back to himself and call that nation unto himself. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, we see quite a bit about this on a personal level. God judging and bringing forth his chastening upon individuals. In verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 12, and you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And one thing that we see in our culture today is that some parents really aren't chastening their kids enough. And there's even a view that some hold that really we shouldn't chasten our children. And really that we should love them, that we should show forth their, you know, we should actually be nice to them, and we should not discipline them. My mom, who was a school teacher, has even sat in parent-teacher conferences where a child was in trouble for disobeying or acting up or causing problems, and the parent was called in. And rather than the parent correcting the child, the parent cussed out my mom, the teacher, and the principal or whatever administrator was a part of that meeting. And this is really Sometimes parents need to let their kids experience the consequences of their action. And God loves us enough. If you are a child of God, if you have come to Him and you have repented of your sins and you've turned from your wicked ways, when you are violating His commandments, He loves you enough to chasten you. Moreover, sometimes even when you are obeying Him and you're keeping His commandments, He still brings His chastening hand on you so that you can learn how to love Him and how to obey Him and even more, and you can be holy even as He is holy. And we see this in this passage from Hebrews chapter 12. We've had human fathers. Those human fathers have chastened us as seemed best to them. And we realize that as humans, we are not perfect. I have not been a perfect father. When my kids were growing up, I made mistakes. But certainly I tried. I did my best. I tried to chasten them and tried to train them, tried to teach them and bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But I did so as an imperfect vessel. And human fathers and human parents do this with imperfectly. But God does this perfectly to bring about righteousness, to bring about holiness, to bring us unto Him, to call us back to Him. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 1, where we can see about how God actually chastens a nation as well. And beginning in verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the anger of the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up, or soothed with ointment. And we see here that, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled. The nation of Israel, God was God's child, and yet they rebelled against Him. And he goes on in verse 3, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, nor do the people consider. And we can even say this about America, because our founding fathers, even before the founding fathers, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, they established covenants with God. And our founding fathers established covenants with God. They got together and prayed, and certainly they weren't perfect, but they established a nation that more closely resembled the principles of God's word than any nation in history. And this nation has been blessed because of it. Yet we actually as a nation have departed from His commandments and His precepts. And going on in verse 4, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. So the nation of Israel had done this. They had forsaken God and turned away backwards. They had violated his commandments. And in America, we see the same thing happening to the point where many people in this country, when you say God bless you, they just look at you funny. Some of them even laugh because they don't believe in God. Because why? Because we have taught kids in school at least 80 years that they weren't created by God, that they were just happened by chance, by random occurrence and genetic mutations, that they really have no purpose in life. And so you think that has the ideas have no impact. They do have impact. And we go on here in verse 5. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. And so we see here that God really saying to the nation of Israel, if I bring my judgments upon you, if I call out to you and bring forth judgments, then what good is it going to do? Because you're just going to continue sinning and violating my commandments. And really, in America, we can even say, you know, God could even be saying this to us. If I bring forth judgments, if I bring forth my punishment upon you, will it do any good? Will you turn from your wicked ways and serve me? And we see here in verse 11, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers dwell in your... strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overgrown by strangers. And here we actually see this really a fulfillment of the curse that was proclaimed in Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know, there was a curse and then a blessing and then a curse that was proclaimed. And this is actually a direct fulfillment of that curse. And we don't yet see this happening to this extent in our land, but we do see our border being flooded with strangers, some of which hate us, some of which are coming here to do damage, some of which are bringing illegal drugs that are killing people. And so we actually, again, have been blessed and been protected, but we're starting to see the floodgates open up in this nation. And we see here going on in verse 8. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. And in the nation of Israel, when God brought his judgment upon them, what happened was there was a small portion of the people that remained in the area. And that was the remnant. It was those who had escaped the sword, who had escaped famine, who had not gone into captivity. They were still in the land. They were the remnant. And in verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Gomorrah. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. You rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord God? I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meaning. your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. So we see here, really, God even saying, listen, in all these sacrifices that God is talking about, these are sacrifices that God instituted. These are the sacrifices are things that God ordained. And yet God is saying, listen, I don't care about those because you're committing iniquity. You are violating my commandments. Your hands are full of blood. And in America today, we have people coming to church on a regular basis. In fact, on Saturdays, sometimes there are people that go into abortion clinics to kill, to pay an abortionist to rip their babies limb from limb and to crush their baby's skull. And as the sidewalk counselors cry out to them and plead on behalf on their behalf for the life of their precious preborn children, they say, God will forgive me. God will forgive me. And they go into the abortion clinic and pay the abortionist to rip their arms and legs off their babies and crush their baby's skull. And then they go to church the next day and have no sense that they did anything wrong. Their hands are covered with blood. And God is saying, hey, listen, I don't care about your sacrifice. I don't even care about your prayers because your hands are full of blood. In verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And here you see a call. What is needed is not for more prayer. What is needed is not for more worship services. What is needed is not to just go through the motions. What is needed is to repent of your sins, to cry out to God, to ask Him to forgive you, to turn from your wicked ways, and to plead for the widow, to defend the fatherless. You know, these preborn children that are being killed, their fathers very often are actually advocating for the death of their own offspring. And the women are very often in a figurative sense like widows, as their boyfriend or their husband is actually pressuring them to kill their own offspring, to pay an abortionist to kill their own offspring. God says, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow, rebuke the oppressor, seek justice, learn to do good. And even though our sins are like scarlet and red, that God can make them as white as snow. God can wash away our iniquity. God is speaking not just individually here, but nationally. Nationally, and what happens when God has a controversy with a nation? God brings forth His judgment upon that nation and calls that nation unto repentance, and that nation has an opportunity to turn from their wicked ways and to seek God and to repent of their sins and to come back to Him. But what we have in America, with all this government assistance, is we have God bringing forth His judgment and bringing forth calamity upon people and attempting to chasten people. And what we have is the government lessening that chastening. It's kind of like a child getting in trouble at school and the parents coming in cussing out the teacher and the principal, or like a child going out and getting drunk and getting arrested for drunk driving, or getting arrested for doing something else wrong, and the parents going in bonding out their child. We have this happening. Sometimes you need to just let them sit in jail. Let them learn from their mistakes. And in America, God is sending us the opportunity to chasten us. He's sending us calamity to put us in a difficult situation so that we can turn back to Him. And yet the federal government is coming in and states are coming in and relieving that pressure so that people are less likely to actually repent of their sins and turn from their wicked ways and seek justice. I mean, have we seen any examples where there has been a natural disaster and people have actually turned to God and actually stopped killing their children and arrested the abortionist and closed down the abortion mills, and in fact destroying their buildings and destroying their altars, those suction machines and the various utensils that they use to kill preborn children, or even the chemical abortions. I mean, every one of us probably shops in pharmacies or in businesses that have pharmacies that dispense drugs that kill innocent human beings. God is calling for us to repent of our sins. And really, when you look at the pilgrims, when you look at the Puritans, when they had a calamity happen, they sought God. They humbled themselves. They asked God to show them their iniquity. They asked God to turn them from their iniquity, and they humbled themselves in repentance. And we need to do the same today. We need to turn from our wicked ways and seek God. We need to repent of our sins and cry out to Him and ask Him to move on our behalf. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
In your tabernacle.